Okay, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name missing from Megillas Esther? So, let's take a long view. The obvious answer is because it occurs at a time in history in which Hashem's presence within Jewish history is hidden. It's Esther upon him. We don't have a base of Mikdash. We're in Bavel. But let's try to broaden that into a bigger story. And to appreciate the bigger story, you really have to learn Sefer Daniel. We're not here in 10 or 15 minutes to learn Sefer Daniel. But let me just describe what happens in Sefer Daniel to the Babylonian kings, to some of the early Persian kings. Despite the fact that they're all non-Jews and they're paganists, they're living in the shadow of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was an international home. And they all recognize, at some point or another, Hashem's presence in this world. They daven to Hashem, and they celebrate Hashem. So, for example, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in the beginning of Sefer Daniel, a dream about this big, big idol made of different metals, and he's totally confused, doesn't know how to interpret it. So he calls all of his advisors. There's a lot of parallel between Megillas Esther and Sefer Daniel. And the advisors tell him, you know what, it's too bad there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, because we could ask the Urim and Thummim, and we get a great answer to your dreams. And Nebuchadnezzar says, who told me to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? And the advisors like point to each other, and he wants to kill all of them. So Nebuchadnezzar is still aware that, or his advisors are aware, that he could have received Hashem's input to the Urim V'Tumim. And then, of course, he has his dream, and Daniel's the only one who can decipher the dream. And right after Daniel deciphers the first dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he comes out with a big bracha. It sounds like Sukkot Zimra. Blessed be Hashem, controls the whole world, everyone should recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Hashem's presence is very deeply felt, even in the beginning of Daniel. Then what happens is he makes this big, big idol. You know, we don't know why he makes this big idol. He demands that everyone bows down to them and those that won't get thrown into the fire. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah escape unscathed. He gives another bracha to Hashem. Every time something happens in Sefer Daniel to all these Babylonian and Persian kings, they're recognizing Hashem, they're praising Hashem, they're promulgating Hashem. He has a dream about a tree without getting into his next dream. And the conclusion of that dream is he becomes crazy, he goes into the forest, he becomes deposed, he lives in the wild, he becomes a half man, half animal. And then when he returns to his throne 7 years later, he thanks Hashem again, and he puts out a letter to his entire kingdom telling them to recognize and acknowledge Hashem. So this is every single wave, every single story in Sefer Daniel. You have dreams, you have challenges, you have Hashem's presence. Belshazzar takes over from Nebuchadnezzar, and he sees some writing on the wall when he makes a party because he's defeated some armies, and he makes a party, and he calls in Daniel to interpret the writing on the wall. And Daniel says, by the way, the Babylonian Empire is about to end, and Belshazzar is so happy that he knows what these words on the wall are, these mysterious words from the heavenly hand. He says, oh, thank you, Hashem, even though he's about to lose his kingdom a few hours later. So it's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah escaping. It's Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. It's Belshazzar writing on the wall. Then even Daryavash, who has to throw Daniel into the den of lions because Daniel has violated the rule against prayer, and he doesn't want to because he's Daniel's best friend, the king Daryavash, he spends the whole night not sleeping. He doesn't sleep the night that Daniel is in the Gov HaRaz, and he's fasting. Keep in mind, he's not sleeping, and he's fasting, and he's davening to Hashem to save Daniel. So the entire story that's taking place a few years before Megillas Esther, it's all about people who aren't Jews recognizing Hashem. And it's not just people who aren't Jews, kings who aren't Jews recognizing Hashem, but it's about this battle against idolatry and battle against paganism. So Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow down to the idol. There are stories quoted by Josephus about how Daniel was an idol smasher, very similar to Avraham. There was a religion called Baal, and there was some idol, some pagan culture called Baal. And the priests of Baal had some like contraption where they put food into the temple, the next day the food was eaten, and so you see, the deities have eaten the food, and Daniel found a way to like uncover it. So there's this long story in Josephus where Daniel, then there's another story which is actually quoted by a Medrash Rabbah, that there was another idol that they all worshipped, this huge, huge reptilian alligator that lived in a cave. And they worship this Tanin HaGadol, and they would throw a couple animals to it every year, and the Tanin HaGadol would come out of the cave and eat them, and then they'd be frightened and they'd run away. And Daniel said, you know what, I'll slaughter that big reptile, and he had some way to give us some poison. The poison went to the reptiles. So Daniel's not just spreading the name of Hashem, but Daniel is breaking or demolishing and repudiating idols. So you have Hashem's presence right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that presence is still palpable. People are speaking about the Urim and Thummim. Idols are being debunked. Babylonian kings and Persian kings are having dreams. And when those dreams are deciphered, or when the mysterious heavenly writing on the wall is decoded, they're thanking Hashem. And now you open up Megillas Esther, and it's towards the end of Galus, and Hashem is absent from this world. And it shows how much 70 years of the Jewish people not being in Eretz Yisrael and not being the Beis HaMikdash, how it impacts Hashem's presence in this world. And Achashverosh and Megillas Esther, there are no dreams. No one has a dream. This is a matter that Mordechai has one dream, Mordechai Yadaz Kol Asher Nasa, but you don't see the dreams in Megillas Esther. There are no malachim in Megillas Esther, even though there are plenty of opportunities for there to be malachim, and Chazal read malachim and angels into Megillas Esther. So for example, Charvona, going to one day in Chazal, it's Eliyahu. Or going to another day in Chazal, V'yikaru L'fayam Melech, the night that Achashverosh wanted to read from the historical annals, the person who was reading them was the son of Haman named Shimshi. And Shimshi kept turning the page when he got to Mordechai, and Eliyahu kept turning it back. So there are plenty of moments where there could be malachim in Megillas Esther, but they're not in Megillas Esther. And there's no Ruach HaKodesh in Megillas Esther. No one really knows what's happening behind the scenes. This is a great time for Hashem to come to Mordechai and Esther and say, don't worry, I've got some bigger plan. Esther's in the palace. She'll save the Jewish people. What does Mordechai say? Umi yodea im la'is kazo sigat la'malchus. Of course someone knows. Hashem knows. Hashem, tell Mordechai. Mordechai's asking, mi yodea, I don't know, could be. This is very, very likely that you were nominated to be the king, queen in order to help us. And Hashem says, yes, Mordechai, bingo, you got it. You're right, don't worry. So Hashem's not felt. Achashverosh goes through many of the similar stories that the previous kings go through, but he doesn't thank Hashem. He's almost deposed. Nebuchadnezzar was deposed. And after Bigtan Vateresh are captured, you think Achashverosh should say something, right? Thank you, Hashem, for saving my life, for saving me from assassination. Nothing. As opposed to Melech Daryavash, who doesn't sleep at night. Achashverosh doesn't sleep at night, but doesn't thank Hashem. And he's not fasting. Esther's fasting. Esther's the one fasting. Esther and Mordechai are the ones fasting. That's why it's so important for Mordechai not to bow down to Haman. Did Haman actually have an idol around his neck? Hard to know. Different deres in Chazal. But even if he didn't, Haman wasn't wearing a god, but he was a demigod. In the ancient empires, the space between a human being who is almighty and all-powerful and could rule over the entire world and a true god, that space was very, very thin. It almost didn't exist. So people coronated themselves as gods. So whether bowing down to Haman would have been actual Avodah Zarah, or bowing down to Haman would have just been bowing down to a human being who saw himself as a demigod, it didn't make a difference, because it would have further diminished Hashem's presence in this world. And Mordechai could not bow down, just like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah didn't bow down probably about 70 years earlier. So this is the scene in Megillas Esther. 70 years into Galus, 70 years without the Jewish people in their homeland, 70 years without a Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's presence has dramatically, dramatically receded. Even if you compare it not just to the state of Hashem when there was a Beis HaMikdash, but to the state of Hashem in the 30, 40 years after the Beis HaMikdash, during Nebuchadnezzar's reign, during Belshazzar's party, during Daryavash's reign, no dreams, no angels, no Ruach HaKodesh, no heavenly assistance. And that's why Hashem's name is completely absent from the Megillah. Stylistically, because Hashem's presence wasn't felt by humanity. And not just stylistically, but the earliest person who addressed this question was Rabbeinu Sajagon. And Sajagon says, and I said this earlier this week, that Mordechai was afraid because he knew that Megillas Esther would be recorded in historical, in Persian literature. And he knew that when the Persians would write the story of Esther, they would swap out the name of Hashem and swap in a Persian idol. So he didn't want to desecrate Hashem's name by placing it in Megillas Esther, knowing that it would be corrupted and it would be perverted. Had Nebuchadnezzar written Megillas Esther and experienced the needs of Megillas Esther, he would have given credit to Hashem, as he did. Had Daryavash experienced Megillas Esther, the Nisim of Purim, who would have given credit to Hashem, as he does after the lion episode. And this is how far Hashem's presence has receded from history, that Hashem's completely, completely absent in Megillas Esther. No malachim, no ruach hakodesh, no dreams. And the one time you'd expect there to be a dream, Balailahu nadada shenas hamelech. Oh, what happens? Now's the time for dreams. That's when Pyro dreams and Hashem delivers insight and information through a dream. And that's when Dayavash dreams or Nebuchadnezzar dreams. It's almost a setup. Balailahu nadada shenas hamelech, and Hashem comes in a dream, and Pyro has a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and Belshazzar has a heavenly writing on the wall. Nothing. He's awake, and they read from the Sefer Zichronos. And it's at that scene in Parakeh that Hashem's presence is felt, or the absence of Hashem is felt most acutely. So here's the question. How does Hashem's presence get restored to history in Megillas Esther? So Chazal fill in the blanks. There was a massive Kabbalah Satara, Kimu v'kibu ha'yehudim, la'yudim ma'isar v'simcha v'sasin v'ikar. But if you read the Megillah, what's the story the Megillah says? You know how Hashem's presence gets restored at its low point when it's absent? The restoration of Jewish prestige. The fact that the Jewish people and their rank rises. When the Jewish people and the station of the Jewish people in this world historically rises, that's a Kiddush Hashem, because we represent Hashem. And even if the language isn't religious, even if the people are not seeing Hashem and talking about Hashem, when the Jewish people rise, that's the platform upon which Hashem's presence is going to be restored. And if you read the Megillah, that's exactly how Hashem's presence. What happens? They're menasim es hayudim. They raise the Jewish people. We become celebrities. And that's why Mordechai as a celebrity is so important. Ki ish Mordechai holech v'gadol. Everyone's seeing Mordechai. And he walks out in royal garb. And he's ridden through the streets of Persia on the horse. I keep telling you that horse scene is crucial, because it's not necessary for the narrative of Megillas Esther. Every other story of Megillas Esther is necessary to keep the narrative moving. If Vashti isn't killed, Esther isn't queen. If Esther isn't queen, everything else is necessary. If Bigsam and Sarah shan't expose, then Mordechai doesn't have credit. So everything that happens in Megillah is necessary. For A, you need B. For B, you need A. For C, you need B. For D, you need C. A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. The story of the horse is not necessary. Why does Mordechai have to be paraded in a horse? Because Mordechai is being celebrated and his reputation is being spread. Ki nafal pachat Mordechai alehem. And that's the story of Megillas Esther. That sometimes when Hashem's presence unfortunately diminishes in this world, so we hope one day for there to be a restoration on religious terms, that the whole world will see Hashem, and the whole world will recognize Hashem, and the whole world will speak about Hashem, and there'll be a return and a restoration of religious spirit, and of moral spirit, and of acknowledgement of Hashem. But until that happens, and as a platform for that happening, when people recognize and acknowledge the Jewish people, and Jewish pride is restored, and people see the Jewish people, that also restores HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's why the most important pasuk in Megillas Esther is V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz. Can anyone finish the pasuk? Misyahadim. Doesn't say Rabim me'amei ha'aretz misgayrim. Pashtus was they weren't becoming Jews. It wasn't a religious or theological awakening. They were just aligning themselves to the Jewish people. They were being proud of the Jewish people. They saw the Jewish people. What happens a few years later? The Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and then people see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the restoration of Jewish pride and the way that the world sees the Jewish people, that's the battle for Hashem's presence in this world. And that's the battle that we're waging right now. All the naysayers and all the critics and all the Israel bashers and all the Israel haters, we represent Hashem in this world. And when people are sneering at us and jeering at us, unfortunately Hashem's presence is still being held back in this world. And our battle to prove that this is a just and moral war, and our battle to prove what Israel represents, and our battle to defend good and truth against evil and dishonesty and moral relativism and fake news and doctored photos and doctored statistics, that's the battle for Hashem's presence. Even though this war is not being waged in religious terms, it's not like people are speaking about the Gemara in Bava Kama or the Tosfos in Chulin or the Mesilas Yesharim. It's a battle about what the Jewish state represents and Jewish pride and how the world sees the Jewish people. That is the battle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's one of the stories of Megillas Esther. 70 years in which Jewish identity was declining. 70 years in which the Jewish people were in Bavel. And you see how precipitous the fall of Hashem's presence in this world was. All the kings who had praised Hashem now could care less. And all those who had, all the dreams have faded. And all the angels are no longer there. And all the Ruach HaKodesh has dispersed. Right, Chazal tried to prove that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh. That means that after it was written, the people had Ruach HaKodesh when they got back to Eretz Yisrael, which is probably when Megillas Esther was written. But during Megillas Esther, the people who were living through the process, Mordechai and Esther, in real time, didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, because Hashem didn't give it to them, because he was absent from Megillas Esther. And the way to restore Hashem, at least in Megillas Esther, in the text, is to restore the way that people saw the Jewish people, Minasim Yehudim, for Abim Me'me'aretz Misyahadim, Ki Nafal Pachad HaYehudim Alehem. Okay, guys, have a good day. Have a good day.